Our study tonight is out of Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30. God's confirming his sovereignty over world history. Normally, when you look at a chapter like this, you think, oh, this is the chapter on the fiery furnace. So you have a Bible story that goes into the fiery furnace. What I'm doing is handling the whole issue about the fiery furnace in the context of the book of Daniel. And in the context of the book of Daniel, God was concerning his sovereignty over world history by demonstrating his sovereignty to Nebuchadnezzar. We'll get into this. As believers living in a spiritually decaying, godless culture, we need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians, and he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon, righteously and wisely serving the Lord in a godless culture and a great example for us. So we view Daniel 3, 1 to 30 on God's affirming his sovereignty over world history for our edification. I'd like to read the chapter and then we'll briefly look at it. Daniel 3, 1 to 30. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet and the breadth thereof 9 foot. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent it to gather together the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried, unto you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of the nations, the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the music, the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought him before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not serve ye my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter, or we're not anxious. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke, commanded that they should heat the furnace, 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men, loose, walking in the midst of the fire, they have no harm. And the form of the fourth is like unto the son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth, come here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whom the bodies of the fire had no power, nor was even a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor was the smell of fire passed upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a refuse, because there is no other God that can deliver after this kind. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. All right. After God enabled Daniel to tell the king his dream and its interpretation, King Nebuchadnezzar became infatuated with his significant role in Gentile history, typified in his kingdom's representation as the most valuable part of the image in his dream, the head of gold. And so he was impressed with his importance, and Nebuchadnezzar then made an entire image of gold, set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, ordered his officials to the site, and directed that at the sound of music, they were to bow down and worship his gold image or suffer execution by being thrown into fiery furnace. Now, at this particular point, you have a pagan king, and he's impressed with the vision that Daniel's given him, and so it's going to his head. But amazingly, this is interesting, Nebuchadnezzar's egotistical intent resembled that of Satan's future intent with the Antichrist. We're going to be covering this on Sunday. We're going to be talking about the Antichrist in the morning sermon. In the great tribulation to come, Satan will empower the Antichrist and his deputy, that's the false prophet, and the false prophet will cause the world to make an image of the Antichrist, and he will animate the image. That's in Revelation 13, 14 to 15. Then the false prophet will cause all who do not worship the image to be executed, Revelation 13, 15. The program of Satan never changes. It's been, you know, this is Babylon, this is 2,500 years before ago, and it's going to happen again. Well, consequently, all of Nebuchadnezzar's officials bowed down to the worship of the golden image, except Daniel's three Hebrew companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. News of their disobedience infuriated Nebuchadnezzar, so he called these Hebrews and gave them another opportunity to heed his edict and bowing to worship his gold image or be cast into the furnace. Well, the three Hebrews said they did not need to defend themselves in the matter. I'm struck by the tremendous courage of these young men. These are guys, they're 17, 18 years of age at this point, maybe 20, I don't know, maybe it's been a couple of years since they're in captivity, but they're standing up to a king who's taken them captive. And they essentially said, we don't really have to worry about answering you, O king. They indicated that God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. But even if he did not rescue them, I love that, God is able to deliver us, but even if not, even if we die, doesn't make any difference. We're not bowing down. These young men put their lives on the line in front of this very powerful king who had life and death authority over them. God was able to deliver them, but even if he didn't rescue them, they would still not serve the king's gods or worship his golden image. And of course, this was going to make Nebuchadnezzar furious. So upon hearing this, Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than it was normally heated. He ordered some of his mighty men to bind the three Hebrew men up and cast them into the fiery furnace. So the three Hebrews were bound in their flammable cloaks, their tunics, their hats, other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace that was so hot, the mighty men who took them and brought them to the furnace died. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound into the fiery furnace. It's amazing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't even die before they got into the flames. It's hot, real hot. But it killed the men. Now, these were mighty men. These were warriors. And nevertheless, it didn't happen. Suddenly the king looked, and with a shock into the flames, he asked his counselor, "Did we not cast three men into the fire, bound?" And they answered, "True, O king." Nebuchadnezzar then said, "But I see four men released, walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." He viewed it as an angel. And of course, the fourth was the pre-incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there with him and protecting and providing for them in the midst of this tremendous fire. At this particular time, God was trying to demonstrate to Nebuchadnezzar that there's something a lot more powerful than him. It's God. And he's putting this king in his place. He's teaching him a lesson. Well, Nebuchadnezzar then came near to the furnace. He charged the three Hebrews to come out of the fire, calling them servants of the Most High God. And they obeyed the king, and they came out. In astonishment, the Babylonian officials gathered around and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of these three Hebrews, that their hair was not singed, their clothes were unharmed, and they didn't even have the smell of fire on them. You didn't even smell the smoke. That was a tremendous miracle. Well, the king then blessed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He glorified their God who had sent his angel to deliver them for trusting in him, and he decreed that anyone who said anything against their God would be torturously executed and their homes destroyed. And then Nebuchadnezzar promoted these three Hebrews in the capital province of Babylon. I think there's a subplot in this whole account. You'll notice in verse 8 that certain of the Chaldeans came there, and they accused the Jews. The Chaldeans apparently had it in for these three Jews because they'd already been elevated. So guess what? The Lord goes ahead and allows the king to elevate these three men over these Chaldeans. So the Lord, tit for tat, God judged the people who were trying to entrap these men by telling the king about them. So the Lord has his way of dealing out justice. But when Nebuchadnezzar became infatuated with God's revelation of his key role in world history as the head of gold in the image of his dream, so that he made an image of gold and ordered his officials to worship it, God used the stand of three Hebrew believers in opposition to the king's idolatry to teach him that the Hebrews' God was the sovereign God of history, that he was the one to be honored, as he it was who had set up and put down kings. He's teaching Nebuchadnezzar a huge lesson here. You're not that mighty. You're in power because the Lord put you in power. That's what God's saying. I put you in power. And if I want, I can remove you from power. We're going to find out in chapter 4 that's what God does. Actually, God enforces this by removing him from power for a while and then brings him back into power. But God is teaching this man that he's absolutely sovereign over history. So for honoring the Lord, God had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego promoted in the province of Babylon. This is actually a very great encouragement to us at a time like this. We've got a problem in history. There's a lot of wrong that's going on. There's a lot of wickedness in leaders and rulers. There's a lot of sin. But we need to trust and obey Scripture's God who sovereignly rules today's world history for blessing. God's still in power. God's still sovereign. And everyone who is allowed to be in power today is allowed to be in power and is allowed to arise to power because of God. He has an agenda, and he's going to fulfill it. And so we need to trust in that. So the typical story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we teach in Sunday school to children and how they trusted the Lord and the Lord saved their lives by his grace. Yes, that's true, he saved them by their grace. But the real lesson here is a lesson to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is more sovereign than he is. And I take it that Nebuchadnezzar didn't build an image of gold anymore. He stopped that. He learned to stop it. So may we relax in the God of history. There are a lot of Christians, believe it or not, a lot of Christians today that are afraid. They're living in fear. They don't understand events that are occurring today. There are some who believe that they believe they may actually have to face the Antichrist. We don't have to worry about that. God wants us to trust in Him, to relax in Him.